In Parshas Lech Lecha, we have the story of the war of the four kings and the five kings, how Lot is taken captive, and how Avraham Avinu goes out, literally at the risk of his life, and he saves Lot and many people along with him. After these events, the Chumash tells us, the word of Hashem came to Avraham in vision, saying, "Fear not, Avraham, I am a shield for you, your reward is very great." To which Avraham Avinu responds, "My Lord Hashem Elohim, what can you give me, seeing that I go childless?" Right? Damesek Eliezer, my servant, is going to inherit me. Avram said, "No. See to me that you have given no offspring, and see my steward inherits me." Suddenly, the word of Hashem came to him, saying, "That one will not inherit you. Only him that shall come forth from you shall inherit you." And here's the operative pasuk for today. And he took him outside, and said, "Gaze now, habeg now toward the heavens, and count the stars, if you're able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And he trusted in Hashem, and he reckoned to him as righteousness. And we've discussed that name phrase in the previous times. And we know, as it's pointed out in Source 2, Klai Yisrael is compared to both the stars of the heaven when we do the will of God. We've also been compared to the sand of the earth, or sand by the sea. When we don't do the will of God, then we're trampled on by the dust of on the earth, or the sand on the sea. Different imageries for different times. Let's learn together today this Rashi on Vayotzeo Teochutza. Rashi says the following. Lefib Shuto, what does it mean? He took him outside. According to its simple meaning, Hotzio Ma'olo, Hashem took Avraham Avinu out of his tent, Lachutz, to the outside, Lerota Kochavim, to see the stars. So Vayotzeo Teochutza, literally Hashem picked him up, moved him outside, said, "Look up at the stars." Now obviously, as the Ma'aral points out in Source 4, that this is really insignificant and meaningless. For Avram knew that the stars were numerous without having to look at them. So why was it necessary for Hashem to literally pick him up and have him look at the stars? And that will be our first question in Mirtz Hashem for today. Rashi continues, Ulufi Midrasha. According to the Midrashic interpretation, Hashem said to Avraham, "Go out from your astrology, Shira'ita b'mazalo, which you have seen by the signs of the zodiac, She'incha atid la'mid ben, that you will not be destined to have a child." You're right. Avram ain't lo ben, but Avraham will have a child. Sarai will not be able to give birth, but Sarah will be able to give birth, because I will give you different names, and with different names, v'ishtana ha'mazal, and the mandate of the zodiac shall change. And finally, at Davar Acher, Hotzio Mechalolo Shel Olam, he raised him out of this world, and he allowed him to look from up down. Let's take a look at the first two ideas of Rashi before the Davar Acher. Simply speaking, he showed him, took him outside to see the stars. On a deeper level, he took him outside and he told him, "Step out of your zodiac signs." Now, we also have questions on this Rashi as well. The Rashi is based on the Gemara in Shabbos, the end of Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that Avraham Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "I see in the stars, in the Jupiter sign, that it's in the west, and I'm not, in that, where that zodiac sign is, I'm not going to have children." So Hashem says, "Okay, I'll move it to the east, and then you'll have children." So on this, the Mikdash Halevi Rav Duner asks the obvious question. Okay. When Avraham Avinu is told, "Leave your astrological signs," HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mamash has this interchange with him. Okay, you're right. From where you are, where you're looking at these astrological signs, you take a can of a child, so change the astrological sign. It seems from this discussion that it's not that Hashem said to him, "You know what, don't believe in astrology. Don't look at these astrological signs. There's nothing to them." No. The fact that Hashem says, "Okay, so I'll change around the sign. I'll move Jupiter to the east instead of the west," means that he did give credence to Avraham Avinu's fear that he could have a child based on where the zodiacs were. So indeed, it would seem that there is something to these zodiac signs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to Avraham Avinu's fear. And if indeed the zodiac sign was such that he could have a child, so then why do us all a favor, just make it that his zodiac sign would be that he could have a child. Why do we even need to have this interchange? Why did Hashem say, oh, you're right. You know what? So I'll move the sign. You'll be above the mazel. I'll change the mazel. What's going on here? There has to be, obviously, something much deeper in this whole conversation. And this is will be Emir Hashem, the second part of our shir today, which is really a much deeper topic that we'll just touch on, which raises, obviously, a lot of questions. The whole idea of Ein Mazel Yisrael, Yesh Mazel Yisrael, what is this whole idea of the zodiac signs? Do they have credence to them? How are we to relate to them? What does this mean that Avraham Avinu was told to leave those zodiac signs? How can we change our mazel, so to speak? What does it mean when we say out of Simcha, Mazel Tov, either person has a good mazel or not a good mazel? Either you're born under a good mazel or not. How are we to understand all this? And answering Rav Duner's question ultimately, which we'll do at the end, with Hashem's help, is if why didn't you just change it to begin with? Why is it that Avraham Avinu had to see it one way, and Hashem said, no, I'll change it. Let's begin with the first issue. Hashem takes him outside and says, go look about the stars. So he could understand that there's stars up in heaven. He had to take him outside to actually see them. So I think there are many, but there are three ideas that, very briefly, that I'd like to share that we learned from this, because we managed to learn, that's what we've seen, my friends, being together for so many years, Baruch Hashem, that every single Rashi, every single idea is replete with lessons for our lives. And we do a disservice, and we just read through a Rashi, we read through a Pasuk Chumash without trying to stop and think, Maaseh Ba'al Olam Deinu, what do we learn from this? And that's our challenge. So Rav Wilby in Shirei Chumash teaches us the first idea. Lama haya asur 7 sarich lo tzio lachut shiret ha-kochavim. Umadu lo yachol bori olam lomar lo zol beveito. Why couldn't he tell him this in his house? Elo ze klal. This is an important principle. Kidei shadam yifal api amunato lo maspik idiya. If a person really is going to be influenced by what he hears, and really for it to make an impression, it's not just enough to hear something. Sarich ri'iya bachush, you have to actually see it. Only that which you really see makes an influence on a person. Right? We have this phrase, seeing is believing. Right? So of course, Avraham Avinu believed that Hashem said you'll be numerous as the stars. But to actually see the stars, to actually be able to see the numerous stars that you can't even begin to count, makes such a greater effect upon a person. And likewise you have by Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu went out onto the Givah, to the mountaintop, to daven, lift his hands in the war of Amalek. Why didn't he sit in his house and daven? Because that which you see in your with your own eyes has a different effect, and the tefillah is different. So that's idea number one. That in order really to be able to impact on people, to influence people, they need to see it. That's one of the reasons, parenthetically, I'm a big believer, albeit very time-consuming, of having sources in front of us, right? The Otiot Machimot, the letters make us smart. Being able to see the source inside makes a deeper impression than just hearing a shiur, oh, this is what so-and-so says, oh, this is what so-and-so says. When you see the words, it enables a person to have a greater impression. So that's idea one. And this is, again, parenthetically, why a teacher who wants to be successful should do as much show and tell as possible. Right? If you're teaching Hilchos Shabbos, how to make tea on Shabbos, just to sit in front of the kids, say Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, first cup, second cup, you take a tea bag, you take hot water, and you make tea in front of them. Whatever you are doing, benching Lulav and Erev Trog, lighting Hanukkah candles, to really teach, to be able to, in anything, to be able to make it as muchashi as possible, make it as real as possible, to bring it in, will make it as more effective than in any other way. The Ohel Moshe, Rav Scheinerman, brings down Rav Meir Shapiro Milublin, a person who founded the whole idea of Daf Yomi, and he explains this pasuk in a gevaltic way. And he says, and the English is side by side in 9, okay, let's do the English. Rav Meir Shapiro says, again, you can see the Hebrew in 8. What a person would do if he were told to count the stars. One look at the myriad stars in the heavens would tell what an impossible task this was, and he would not even bother to attempt it. But that is not what Avram did. When Hashem told him to look up at the skies and count the stars, that is exactly what he did. He began to count the stars, even though doing so appeared to be impossible. Because, as he says at the end of eight, Kefir Ratzon Lekayim Tzivuyav Afa Ofen Shi Yafshar Lekayim Mitzvotam Mechamat Heiz Tzipa Min Hastipo. This is the way your children will be. That even though it seems impossible, we have to do what the Ritzon HaBorei is, what the will of the Kodesh Baruch Hu is, even if it seems impossible to fulfill. So, according to Rav Moshe Shapiro, when Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Habeina Shemaimus Foros Kochavim, go count the stars, right? Can you count them? It wasn't, you know, just a random statement. No, go count the stars. If you can't count the stars, even though it's impossible. Hashem tells me to count the stars, I'm going to count the stars. I'm ready to do Ritzon Hashem without question. And this is my friend answers, Kol Yezarecha, Hashem responded, so shall your children be. Avram's extraordinary trait of eternal optimism, his refusal to acknowledge the impossibility of any task, will characterize his descendants. This will be the hallmark of the Jewish people. No matter how difficult the task may seem, the Jew will not despair. He will try and try and try again. And when we try, amazing things often happen. This really dovetails what we spoke about last week of Ubechol Meldecha, going beyond. Even if we think something's entirely beyond our meager abilities, when we try persistently, we discover strength and abilities that we never knew we possessed. We find in ourselves new reservoirs of capability, new potential we never knew existed. We learn we can go beyond all the limits and restrictions that we considered impenetrable boundaries. So Avravino here is being told, Kol Yezarecha, this is what your children will be like, not just as numerous as a star, and not just, as other Sfarim point out, it's just like a star, it's very small, but it's a world on its own, so every Jew, albeit may look very small, is worlds on their own. Aside from all of that, there's a quality that's going on in the words of Sfor Kochavim, that Avravino says, I'm ready to do the impossible, because the Jew recognizes that if a Kodesh Baruch Hu tells me to do something, I can push myself, and I have a lot more in me than meets the eye, and I have to, and this is our mandate, to be able to try to bring out all these great treasures that are found within me. So idea number one, seeing is believing. When you see something, it concretizes it. Idea number two, the seeing was in order for Avraham Avinu to count, to show us that we have to push ourselves even if it seems impossible. And idea number three, it's found in the Sefer of Zos LeYaakov. We know throughout Navi that when somebody does a physical act, like the Elisha, when he, Emel Haram, when he shoots the bows, the amount of times he shot them, this is how many times he'll be successful, that story. When you do a physical act, it makes it into a certain reality. V'im kein hayakan po'ol din yomni, u'chi ha'gavnei na b'teila, v'u'ati shapir heitev ma'o b'siyata d'shmaya. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted the mamish to go out and look at those stars, and this will be your children, to make it, like, very real. Yes, this is indeed a sign that's going to be an immutable sign that your children, the Klal Yisrael, will be as numerous as the stars. And indeed, Rav Hirsch, picking up on this idea and then adding another idea, says the following. Wherever we find a Tanakh symbolic illustration besides a spoken word, wherever a sign, an experience, and a symbol are combined with a divine utterance, the utterance is thereby given a deeper and broader interpretation. The same is true here. But then Rav Hirsch adds, I guess this will be our fourth idea. One, it makes it real. Two, the impossible go count, Kleistro can take out the amazing things in them. Three, it concretizes it, it gives it a deeper symbolic experience. And number four, he says the following, and this will be a perfect segue into our discussion for today. Let us consider the sentence, Habet Na, says Rav Hirsch. Na is always directed against an attitude or tendency held by the other person. Here too, then, there must have been some thought in Avravinu's mind against which this divine utterance was directed. From the contents, we can discern the nature of this thought. Avram had given up all hope of having a child. In the natural course of events, he could no longer expect the joys of fatherhood. Hence he said, what would you give me, seeing that I'll depart from this world childless? Thereupon Hashem led him out into the open and said to him, look toward heaven. There, in the heavens, we behold an order that is entirely different from that on earth. On earth, we no longer see anything created directly by Hashem. Everything we see on earth is a product of something else already created. It's not directly the work of Hashem's hands. Rather, it's developed from other creation and is caused by natural factors. From the vantage point of earth, where every effect comes from its given cause, Avram's lost hope was logical. He would have no rational basis for hoping he'd never have a child. Therefore, Hashem told him, look up at heaven. There in heaven exists a different world. There we behold the work of creation. There everything was created directly by Hashem. Hence, he who wishes to see a form of existence created directly and without intermediation by Hashem's power should gaze at the stars. He should raise his eyes heavenward and behold, there's a world that was created directly by Hashem. Can you count the stars? These creations, which originate directly from the Creator's utterance, Yehi, are more numerous than the limited creations of indirect origin on earth. Therefore, leave your astrology. Desist from your natural earthbound speculations. Open up your mind instead to the concept of the starry world. My friends, what a beautiful idea Rav Hirsch is teaching us. And what a very beautiful idea for our lives. You know, oftentimes, and we'll really deal with this right now, there are certain times in life that we feel like this can't go on like this, and things are just going from bad to worse, and can things ever change? And we feel stuck, and we feel like, you know, how can this go on like this? And we look at the world like Avraham Avinu did with the cause and the effect, the doctors say, the reality is, and everything is cause and effect. And then we can't feel despair, we feel hopeless. Habeina Shemaima, Kol Yeh Zaracha, this is a mandate for us. When you're feeling this way, recognize that there's a world created directly by Hashem. There's a world without any intervention by humans down here, by the mazels we'll talk about. There's a world that's direct relationship with Hashem. When you look up at those stars, you see that there is a Ribono Shel Olam in the world, and there's a way to move out of the natural world that we're stuck in, the earthbound speculations. Open your mind to the concept of the starry world, and that enables us to feel that connection to Hashem and to realize that anything is possible. And that, says the Das Torah, Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz in Source 12, that's what it means, Vayotzei Oto Achutza. He took him outside. Yitziyah Mirshuto Shel HaMazel, the end of 12. He took him out from being under the force of that mazel. Ki im berum olam moshevecha. You sit in a higher place. You sit in a place which isn't directed by what the mazel has to say. Which then leads us to our very important question for today. And that's really where we're going to begin. And again, it's a big topic. And we haven't touched on it yet in all these years. The time has come. Hiki Yasman. But there's a lot more to say. What is this whole idea of mazel? Is there a mazel? Is there not a mazel? Ain mazel Yisrael? Yesh mazel Yisrael? Again, we're just going to touch on this, and there's a lot more to say. This is not in any way the whole topic. So when you look in the Gemaras, Torah's Chesed points out, we find many Gemaras that do talk about mazel. Mazel literally means, we understand the mazel is these zodiac signs, these astrological signs. And we know the Gemara Shana talks about Daf Yud Aleph, that there are 12 months, and every month has a mazel. Every month has a zodiac sign to it, right? So we're now in the month of Bar Cheshvan. That's the month of the scorpion. And we've discussed in the past, the scorpion is the coldness, the holidays in this month, and our Avoda, and what we have to do, understanding that that's the force in this month. Libra is the scales, and that's when we're being judged. And we understand that it has a certain impact, and the Svarim talk about the mazel of the month, the way it impacts the month, and particularly with the Bnei Yisachar, you see a tremendous amount of Torah on this, and indeed, as well as many others, that the mazel does have an impact on the month. You have the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara we quoted earlier, at the beginning of the Amud, where Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, There's a mazel of every day, and one who's born on a certain day has certain kochos of that day. So, for example, one who's born on Sunday is going to be the first. Either it could be the first, that's Rosh Yeshiva, or the first among the robbers, the head, right? One who's born on Wednesday, it'll be a chacham, mayor punim, will be someone who's smart, someone whose face will be lit up, because this is the day when the constellations were put in heaven. I was born on a Wednesday. I chose a Wednesday to share. You can look at source 13 for the rest of the list. So you see, there is a mazel, the idea of mazel. Gemara Tanya says, one who has a din with a goy should do it in Chodesh Adar, and not in Chodesh Av. All right, there's a every Sefer Torah, Shabbat Hechel is a mazel. Some Sefer Torah are used all the time. Some are never used at all. What is this all about? What is this all about? How do we understand this? So the Sifte Chaim brings down the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara Nida, that says, before a child is born, when you have that drop, the Malach HaMamunel HaRayon Notel Tipa Mimidali Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, Baruch Shalom, tell me, what's going to be this child, strong or weak? Smart or stupid? I haven't been born on Wednesday, but I was kidding around here, right? Every day has a mazel. So how you use it? You can use, you know, the intelligence Hashem gives you and the wisdom, and use it to bring people closer to God or away from it. It's anything, right? Thursday is the day of Gomel Chasadim, of giving, because the animals were created, and the fish who doesn't have to work for the living, etc. Everything has a certain koach. So before Hashem, before this child was born, Hashem turns to looks at every embryo and decides, are they going to be rich or poor, smart or not smart, a Rasha, but not a Rasha or Tzaddik, right? That is a Kol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Mishirat Shemayim. And then, based on all of these Nitunim, you know, it's like the genetic DNA, but it's also spiritual DNA, a person's going to have X amount of intelligence, X amount of capabilities, right? The fact that tone deaf, you know, artistically challenged. All of these were decided, you know, 50 years ago when Hashem clearly understood what are going to be my nitunim in life. And Hashem then decides, one's whole, maps out one's whole life based on who I am, what makes me me, what are my strengths, what are my weaknesses. What are the challenges that I will need in life? What are the life situations that I will need in order for me to be able to do my mission in this world, why Hashem put this soul in this body? And this is the idea, the Gemara in Moed Katan says, Banai chayim ezonai lo b'schuta chal yel b'mazala. Having children, what's livelihood, these are not based on your merit, these are based on what we call your mazel. What is mazel? I'm in the bracket of 14. Lo chas shel mikre, mazel isn't luck, and that's why when I quote the sheer luck of life, it really should have been in quotation marks, because there is no such thing as luck of life. You know, it's like the luck of the draw. There's no such thing. The luck of the life is really dedicated and directed by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They are ma'orot, they are life circumstances, v'kelim, and the different things that we will have, ha'nozlim, literally mazal, is from nozel, which is to drip down, to pour down. Al hadam mukhovanim milamala, and they are directed from above. They are nikba'im mirosh, to know, l'fi chelek ha'miyuad lo b'avodat Hashem, what I'm going to need in avodat Hashem, what every person's going to need. You're right, you're at Shemayim, that's in our bechira. And there's that famous Gemara in Tanis, Kafei Amud Aleph. Rabbi Lazar ben Pedat had this this vision where he was extraordinarily poor and he didn't understand why. And Hashem told him, you know, if in order to change your mazel was to be poor. That's what you need in your Avodas Hashem. I'd have to destroy the world and recreate the world, and who knows if you would be wealthy in this next round? Because this is what was destined for you in your world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, for all the neshamas, this is the Ramchal, every person, l'fi mashi yada hayon hagun l'chol echad mehem, Hashem knows for every person what they need to accomplish in this world, and therefore he sets up the netunim, the different aspects, wealth and intelligence and all these different aspects in order for a person to do what they need to do in this life. And that's how we have to understand. So when I understand that everyone is created under a certain mazel, under a certain star, we know the famous Gemara, if you're created under this zodiac sign, it'll be blood, you could be either a shochet, a moel, or God forbid, a murderer, or a robber, right? It's all amount of potential, that there's a certain amount of kochos hanefesh that's given to a person. The bechira, the free choice, is in their yirah shemayim and how you use it. But to a large degree, many things are out of our hands. Many of life circumstances and what will happen to us, Hashem is creating the whole scenery, the whole circumstances, all the objects, in order for me to be able, potentially, to make the right decisions, to be able to elevate my soul to the level of perfection. That is why it was put down here in this earth. And when we say that every person has a mazel, right? And again, the Ein Mazel Yisrael may be just collectively, there's no mazel for the klal, the group, but individuals may indeed have a mazel. That's how some interpret it. So that every person has a certain mazel, right? Some people's mazel are better, and some people's mazels are different. But every person, again, and the mazel means that which is directed from above in order to be able to give you all the things you need in life to be able to do your mission in this world. Let's try to understand this whole idea of mazel, of constellation, and zodiac signs a little bit deeper. And it gives us an understanding in so much of Chumash and in Navi in particular. Rabbi Tatz has a whole chapter, which unusual for me, I even photocopied the entire chapter. We're just going to do parts of it, but I wanted people to have it accessible to see in Living Inspired, beyond astrology. And he speaks about that idolatry and astrology really work hand in hand. And idolatry is a very interesting thing. What is this whole idolatry about? Because you see that you have psukim like, Mi kamocha be'elim Hashem, who is like you among the gods, Hashem, the mighty ones? Ki kol Elohei hamim elilim, for all the gods of nations are small gods. We find here that the Torah looks at these other gods as having, like, even to be able to compare to God seems to be a little bit strange. And we see that it's the Torah's greatest prohibition of idolatry. It's the first of all the negative commandments. If there was nothing to idolatry, it wouldn't be so high up there on the list. Torah would just tell us once, don't be gullible. To have the injunction over and over again, do not worship idols, do not worship idols. There must be something to these idols. What are these idols all about? So he says in 18, the answer lies in some understanding of deeper levels, which form the foundation of the creation. The Nefesh HaChaim and many other sources tell us there are many interlocking levels to creation. In an infinitely stretching chain beginning at the very source of existence, many worlds are connected in sequence, right? We have the Olam Hasiya, Olam Abriya, Olam At, Atsilus, there are many different worlds. Each of these higher worlds infuse the level below it with existence and energy. Each is male with regard to the world below it, which is relatively speaking, quote-unquote, female. Together, they, quote-unquote, bring out yet another level below them. This process continues in a myriad of complexity until finally our finite world results. Each level has its own uniqueness, continuing in 19. Let's focus on one in particular for our present purpose. Between all the higher worlds and our concrete physical one, there's a stage which is intermediate. This stage or world is not directly perceived by us, but is accessible. Its function is to transmit the higher energies down to this world, both the creative energy that forms the very aspects of this level and the directing hashkacha, the divine guidance, which manipulates the affairs of our world. It is, if you like, the interface between all the higher worlds and ours. It's a limit of that which we can be perceived from our perspective. This intermediate level is the world of the stars, the zodiac, known as the mazalos. In fact, the word mazal, commonly translated as luck, really means a flow, as in the flow of a liquid, because it represents the flow of energy from a higher level down to this one. Of course, there could not be a more inaccurate translation than luck. The concept of luck implies total randomness. Mazel is just the opposite. Only the source of the directing hand behind it is hidden, which is why it's so easily perceived as random. And that's what astrology is. Astrology is the science of understanding this intermediate world and using the knowledge of its structure and changes to predict events in the physical world. Strictly speaking, it's really not about the future. That's prophecy. It's really about reading the present. One who knows the stars can tell what will happen here because of the causative energies are disposed. That way now, the forces are already in action. And this is what it means to read the stars. You read the way Hashem has wants certain things to happen within this world. And anyone who knows how to read the stars, like any scientist who can tell you from the seed what type of tree will come out, it's a science. It's the ability to read the configuration to be able to see the result. He says, let's go further in 20. And apply it to idolatry. The root dimension of the mazolo splits the higher energy into various channels, each channel being the root of certain energies within nature. And these defined and specific energies manifest as the details of the natural world and events. The channels which bring down energy into the world, the opening of the pipelines, is what the idolater focuses on. And that's the idea of Akum. Avodat Kochavim Umazalot. They look at the stars, the constellation, the mazalos, these astrological signs, and they're able to tap into the various courses of nature. Now, here, my friends, we get to the real Zahir. We know the Rambam tells us in 21 that originally, in the times of Enosh, people realized that everything came from Hashem, but they also saw that Hashem uses these emissaries, these viceroys, in order to do his servant. So they began to accord honor to the intermediaries as well as to Hashem. And that's how they started worshiping these stars. They realized that this is a means for Hashem to bring down all this goodness into the world. Eventually they forgot about Hashem, and that was the idea of development of idolatry. They forgot that Hashem is the one who brings down these forces, and they worshiped the stars alone. What is the difference between worshiping the stars alone and the source? Why was it that eventually they forgot about God? That seems so strange. And he says, and this is the key, and this is really life. The real difference, 22, between worship of the source, Hashem, and worship of the intermediaries is as follows. One who serves the source is concerned about his obligations. What does Hashem demand of me? How do I sacrifice myself, give myself to Hashem? One who serves the intermediaries is concerned about what they can do for him. After all, they're here for the human needs, all natural functions of the world. The idolater looks to the immediate source of power, love, wealth, in fact, all of his needs. How can they serve me? Rav Simcha Wasserman gives a wonderful mashal. He said, it's like a person who walks into a store and he wants a certain item. It's way beyond what he can pay. So he goes over to the clerk and says, let me bribe you. And if I bribe you, can you give me that item? And that's what the idolaters do. They want all these wonderful things. They don't want to pay full price, i.e. serve God. So they make a bribe. They say it costs them much less. You know, let me worship the stars. And then the stars will give me whatever I want, the stars being the clerk. Where can I obtain the good? And he says, one only has to consider the gods of ancient Greece, a god of love, a god of war, a god of fertility, but no one god created the world, because that's irrelevant when you seek only the goods. Who cares about a god who creates the world? I want a god who's going to give me. Correctly understood, the end of 22, the heart of the difference is this. True service understands that Hashem is everything. I am only to serve. Idolatry understands that I am everything and my gods are to serve me. And that's why he explains that imageries of idolatrous worship are often human in form. Idolatry is really worship of the self, and the graven images are projection of the self. Astrology, intermediaries, and idolatry, their worship. And now we can understand why you have all these psukim about other gods and the power they have. There's a certain energy that Hashem invests in them in this world. And that's why they have such a power to them. And that's why people are drawn to them. That's why we have to have over and over again, the Chumash telling us, it's not about the intermediaries, albeit it looks like they have power. It's about the source of all of this, which is the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now we can go back to Avraham Avinu and put our picture into a greater perspective. When Avraham Avinu says, you know, according to the stars, I'm not supposed to have children. Avraham asked, but Hashem, your word to me is contradicted by your word in the stars. And Hashem responds. He doesn't say, oh, that's bashal tashal. Right, that's crazy. You don't have to listen to the stars. No. Hashem answers by teaching him the great secret of Jewish existence. He took him outside, mystically outside the sphere of the stars. You're not bound by those channels. Hashem teaches him. They are natural. They define the inevitable. You are transcendent. You can define your own identity. My friends, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is saying, of course there's power to the stars. I'm the one who gives the power. There is a mazel. There is a nozel. There's certain months out there that has a greater propensity for simcha, for being successful in a court case than Av. Have your court case in Av, not in Av. Have your operation in Adar, not in Av. Yes! I give those kohos into this world. They set a certain standard. Avraham, you're not wrong for looking there, but recognize that they cannot determine your life. That Jews are above the natural. And this is Kol Yesarecha. Ein Mazel Yisrael. There's something that Klal Yisrael have, whether it's the Klal or individuals who, as we'll see, are able to tap into a great amount of koach that can override the Mazel, that can be able to defy what Hashem has put into this world as a natural order. How do we do this? How do we shift the mazel, so to speak? If the mazel is the Jupiter's in the west, how do we move it to the east? So there are a number of ways to do it. One is mitzvos. The Gemara tells us about how even one mitzvah can change a destiny. A young girl is destined to die on a wedding day, according to expert astrological prediction. On that day, during the wedding meal, she took a hairpin from her hair, unconsciously inserted into the wall, and transfixed a cobra which was poised to strike her. What did she do? There was a beggar who was unnoticed by the other guests, and she had given him food. That a mitzvah is on the world of transcendence. When you do something that is transcendent, you have moved to the original source, you move beyond the natural world, and therefore Hashem will respond. We'll talk more about this on the supernatural world. The entire purpose, the end of 25, of the Jewish people is to live above nature. Our challenge is to rise to the dimension of Hashem's will, the dimension where limits are set by our own inertia, and not to live in the mechanical. Our test and our challenge is to enter the source dimension. Failure to be locked in the natural, the inevitable. Success is to break through to the source. So let's try to understand this. In the Or Daniel, I think, makes this very clear. He says, Hashem 26, of Daniel Ochian, Hashem created a world where he's machlino kol nishanama, where he decides on every neshama before it comes down to this world, what will happen? What's the matara? Why are we here? What's our purpose, right? We're not here to drink iced coffee all day. I hate to break the news to you. It's nice to drink iced coffee, but there's a greater purpose in this world than just that. The coffee, right, wake up and smell the coffee, even iced coffee, is to realize that there's a greater purpose in our lives. And that purpose is l'amo b'nisyonos, to be able to withstand the challenges, shoot lu'ala, that are given to us, and those challenges are tailor-made based on our mazel, based on the circumstances of who we are and what our makeup is, in order to be able to overcome these challenges and to be worthy to get reward in the next world. Now, that's why he says, Muvanim Kain, whatever happens to a person in their life is not bad. It's not anything bad. It's exactly what we need in order to withstand this particular challenge, in order to be able to get reward in the next world. And that, again, is very much the book we've recommended many times. It's now back in print. Finding Light in Darkness, Shaul Rosenblatt, who talks about how to deal with suffering and pain, and to realize that pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. that we understand that this is a larger plan from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is why a person can't be jealous of any other person. He gives the example of Reuven and Shimon standing in the central bus station. One's going to Yerushalayim, one's going to Haifa, they're in Tel Aviv. And the Yerushalayim bus comes nice, you know, cushioned, air-conditioned, and the Haifa bus comes, you know, old and rickety. So the guy who's going to Haifa can't be jealous of the bus going to Yerushalayim and say, oh, I wish I was on that bus. He's not going there. That's not what he needs. He needs this bus going to Haifa. So with this bus going to Haifa has this type of life. This is what he needs. There's something bad. It's tailor-made for us. But then he asks, so if you're telling me the mazel is the way Hashem directs, the way our lives should be, that you could predict everything from the astrology, is there a way to change it? So he says yes, and we're to talk about a number of ways to change it. The Or Daniel brings as a suggestion, mitzvos u'maasim tovim, echoing Rabbi Tatz, to live on the transcendent, live on the level connected to the source, which is what Rabbi Tatz, I skipped, speaks about. That's what a mitzvah is, a tzavta, its connection with the divine. And he says here, you see this, Leah Menu wasn't supposed to have a child, was supposed to get married, rather, to Esav. She davened, and she marries Yaakov Avinu, she changes her mazel. And this is why a person can never give up. Always a person has the ability to do Maisim Tovim Yuchadim, special Maisim Tovim. And in parentheses, he says, for example, saving a soul in Israel, bringing a person back to Yiddishkeit, that have the ability to change your mazel for the good. It's interesting because between Rabbi Tatz and Rav Ochian, there seems to be a bit of a difference. According to Rabbi Tatz, it would seem to be any mitzvah that you do can bring you to this higher dimension. According to the Or Daniel, it has to be like something major. When I emailed Rabbi Breidowitz a number of questions that I had about the whole inyan of mazel and interface of, is this what God wants? How can you change your mazel? You know, questions along these lines. So one of the things he says is the following. He says, indeed, quoting Rabbi Breidowitz's email back, the Mefarshi explained that Hashem's reference to recreating the world, right, with Rebbe Elazar ben Bedat, I'd have to recreate the world and then I would see whether you'd be rich or poor, actually means that the schus to change a mazel must be as great as the schus needed to bring a whole world into being. So yes, there are certain things that we can do that can change the mazel. This is very much aligned with what Or Daniel says. But it's not just any mitzvah. It has to be like mamish, something that's earth-shattering, like saving a life, like bringing a person back to Yiddishkeit, something that is akin to, as Rabbi Breidowitz said, recreating a world. So one of the ways to really change a person's mazel is to step out of oneself and mamish affect an entire world, and in so doing, you have stepped out of your mazel of your world, entered into a higher sphere, and have the ability to change your mazel. Rav Pinkus, in his essay on Tiferet Shimshon, his Mamarim, in bringing down what are the things that are able to change a mazel, and he also speaks about what is the whole idea of mazel tov, the asterisk in 28, if a person has, you know, a mazel that seems to be positive, so you're saying mazel tov, is it going to change anything? And if the person's mazel doesn't seem to be so good, again, there's no bad mazel, it just seems to be through poverty, through sickness, that's how he has to serve Hashem, how can you change it? So he knows a number of different answers, but one he says in 29, he brings the Maisa of Rabbuna, Mipsitzcha. Before he became a Hasidic Rebbe, he worked in business. And one year the Chosev of Lubin said to him, you know, this year you're going to lose all your money. Came the end of the year, and he didn't lose all his money. And he said to his Rebbe, he says, you know, you told me I was going to lose all my money. I did. So the Chosev said to him, what did you do during the year? He says, I cried and I davened that I wouldn't lose my money. He says, those tears and those tfilos is what changed your mazel, and indeed you didn't lose your money. You're right. There is a natural, quote-unquote, world, but obviously, as we said, the natural world is coming from a source. Don't think it's just arbitrary. Hashem is directing it, right? Don't get caught in the zodiac. Realize it's Hashem above it. From the depths of one's heart, through crying, you can change a mazel. When you say a birkas mazel tov to a child that's born, or to a young couple, hein tfilos, double underline in 29, hamilavot otam umachzikot otam la'orech yemei chayehem. These are tfilos that will accompany them their entire lives. And you have to be able to give over that mazel tov, b'toch havana, that Hashem is kol yocho, and that Hashem is not limited. And therefore, we are so mistaken if we say mazel tov just like a pleasantry. Good morning, mazel tov. Good evening, hello, mazel tov. Wrong. Mazel tov has to be a tefillah me'omek halev. I say to the new mother, mazel tov, I wish a good mazel for this child. It's my heartfelt tefillah that this child should have a mazel tov. And even if the child doesn't, tefillah has the ability to change a mazel. So when I give a couple a bracha of mazel tov, I'm saying that even if in the mazel, you're not supposed to have such a good mazel, sickness and childlessness and poverty, whatever, I'm davening. It's my arevus. It's my kinship to my fellow Jew that I'm blessing you and that my bracha should be with you throughout your lives, that you should have a mazel tov, that my tefillah should help in being able to break through beyond the mazel into the source, and that Hashem should change your mazel for the good. It gives us, wow, what a different perspective when you go over, you know, B'chas Hashem this week, every night, a bar mitzvah or a wedding. What a different perspective of wishing a mazel tov to the Balei Simcha as a heartfelt tefillah, as a deep tefillah, and not just, as we mentioned, something that's said. Having said this, ask Rav Pinkus, aside from these major mitzvot that can change the world, what are the components that enable a mazel to be changed, that we can move away, like Leia Imenu? We can move beyond the mazel of certain, being dictated a certain way, to change in a different way. If a person has a mazel, right, not to have children, not to get married, how can that be changed? So he brings down the pasuk in 31 of Besevech u'b'mincha ein mikaper lachem, the idea of Gemara, really, that with sacrifices you can't get kapara, but b'chesed u'v'emes yuchu paravel. There are things that have the ability to create forgiveness. And again, we don't know if this is our mazel, this is an onesh, this is a gzeira. We don't know what we're playing with here. Right? When a person has something going on, do I know that this is a gzeira? U'tshuva tefila u'stakam aviru ro'a gzeira. Do I know that this is the way they were born with a mazel? Do we know it's an onesh? I don't know. So since I don't know, I have to be able to, you know, to pull out my full weight. What are the full weight? So he says there are three. One is Kol Hashal Torah 32. All three things have to bring me beyond the natural into the supernatural, into the source. It has to connect me directly to Hashem, that I can override the natural, the mazel, and be able to have it redirected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is Torah. The Torah, we know, B'toch Barecha Olam Hazeh, there's an Inyan of Schar V'Onesh, Mitzvos and Aveiros, etc. But there's also the idea that Torah is me'al mitzius ha'olam. The Torah is beyond this world. Torah came before this world was created. V'hino tram al mitziut, and it is above the natural world. And therefore, one who's able not just to sit and learn Torah, not who's someone who's going to, you know, listen to a shiur here and there, but who's mussar to lume Torah, who chai b'olam acher, he lives in a different world. This world is nothing compared to learning Torah. Then this person is not under, he's not kafuf to the rules of nature, and then the mazel isn't sholeit on him. Which means, he says, it's like a person has a shear, And they know, the family knows, from 7 to 8, you cannot talk to him, you cannot bother him, you cannot call him for anything. This is his man kavua. So it's not even a person who's in kola, who's learning, and this is giving his whole life. It could be a balabas too. But between 7 and 8, nothing is going to come in the way of his shiur of learning. This is it. Bichnei lagia lashka'a. You have to realize the erech of the Torah. You have to feel the masikos of Torah. You have to be ready to give it over, and then you enter into a different dimension. So one is when a person is musar completely to Torah. It's A, obviously, one who dedicates their entire life to Torah, clearly. And one of the Kadoshim was killed in the attack this week in Malchei Yisrael was such an individual who mamish spent his entire time immersed in Limud HaTorah. This is what we're talking about, you know, a person whose life is dedicated to Torah, as well as, I would say, regular people, balabatim. But for them, Torah is so important that time that they learn is so holy. You know, you can't disturb them in any way. That also brings you above your mazel. The second is chesed. Gemilas Chasadim 33, B'chocha l'shonos et mazolo shel ha'adam, v'derek pulata shonel l'chadutim. Hanhaga of Hashem in this world is a mida k'neged. Mida, the way a person acts, we saw this Hashem Sucha last week, that's the way Hashem responds. Gemara Baba Basra tells us, Yeralef Amar Aleph, Binyamin HaTzadik, who was a gabbai tzedakah, is in charge of giving out tzedakah. And once the poor widow came to him in a time of famine and said, Rabbi, give me, I need money. I have a large family. I need to support them. Otherwise, we're all going to die. He says, I'm sorry. I ran out of all the money. I don't have any money. So what did he do? He supported her from his own pocket. A few weeks, whatever, time later, short time later, he was supposed to die from this world. The Malchei Shari came to Kodesh Baruch Hu and said, you've told us what is Mekayim Nefesh Echad Yisrael as if he saved the whole world. This Binyamin HaTzadik saved this woman and her seven sons. He should die now. Immediately they ripped up his gzardin and they added 22 years to his life. What does this mean? That even though Mishamayim, your years may have been, this is it, your mazel is, you live X amount of years. But through Gemilas Chasadim, you're able to change your mazel and add more years to your life. And this is it. To the extent, and that's why we're saying, it's not just doing any act of kindness. It's doing something major, like seeing that honey on your wedding day when you're so involved in so many other things. Who's thinking about that poor person who's, part of the party? Who even pays attention to them? When you do an act of chesed that goes above and beyond in heaven, then you are not then, in whatever area, relegated to what heaven has to say, and Hashem repays you, mida k'neged, mida that you're above that, and you're given the gifts that Hashem wants to give you. Tefillah is obviously the third one. Tefillah, the avodah shebalev, but not just any tefillah, right? We know the story where Yeshaya HaNavi came to Chizki and says, you're going to die, and you didn't do the mitzvah period of Arivia, you didn't have children. And Chizki HaMelech turned his face to the wall and started crying out. And he said, you know, we know that even a cherev chodam unachal tzavar shalatam, even if a sharp sword is on your neck, which isn't probably such a good example to model to give these days, al yigayish v'naparinus, you know, you can't give up hope. Maybe it is a good model. You have to believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu can save you. And he davened mi'omek halev, and he was given many more years to his life. The koach of tefillah also has the koach to bring you out of this world. Kishadam bochel lifnei Hashem Yisbarach b'shvirus leiv, broken heart, mitok kirva v'ahava. Then you're able also to change your will. Now again, before concluding a number of ideas, I'll bring here what again Rabbi Breidowitz sent me in this email. He says, the Gemara in Yevamos says that the Imahos were akaros, they were barren because Hashem desired their tefillos. If Sarah would have said Gamzul Tova, she would have defeated the divine plan. Hashem wants us to storm the gates of heaven. That's what Hashem wants from us. He wants us to daven. There's a certain gzeira that a person won't have children. There's a certain gzeira that, whatever it may be, But Hashem wants from us is to move beyond that mazel and to daven. Right? Familiar with the story mentioning Rav Pinkus here. This is the perfect story that happened to him of a couple who didn't have children for many years. And they went to Rav Pinkus. And Rav Pinkus took this fellow one night. He said, meet me. Late at night, 11 o'clock at night, he took him in the car and he took him to like a forest area, a deserted area outside of town. He said, I'll come back in 15 minutes, I want you to daven. So the guy's a little bit nervous to be out there in the forest by himself. He says a quick tefillah and he's waiting for Rav Pinkus to pick him back in the car. 15 minutes come by, Rav Pinkus comes back, he looks at him, he says, I told you to daven. You didn't daven. I want you to daven. And then the man really davens, and he pours out his soul, and he cries, and he beseeches, and he just, you know, torments of tefillah, what we're speaking about, shvirus lev, breaking of the heart, the pain of infertility, etc. And then, you know, crying, and then Rav Pinkus comes back and says, ah, now, this is what I was talking about, and they were benched with a child that year. That's the ability to break out of one's mazel. So what I ask Rav Breidowitz is, if a person has a certain mazel to be a certain way, so how do I know that I should break out of that mazel? How should I know that I should daven? How do I know that Hashem wants me to daven? And sometimes I daven and Hashem doesn't listen to me. So that's what he was saying here, is that our job is to try to do the best we can. Right? We don't know what the dynamics are. Maybe Xera that Hashem doesn't want our mazel to be changed. And even if we do these things, it's not going to help. We don't know the dynamics. But our job is to say, since we don't know what's, present, that we try to move beyond our mazel. We go into Torah. We go into Gemilus Chassadim, major, right? Saving lives type of Gemilus Chassadim. We go into, right, bringing people back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saving lives physically, spiritually. We go into major tefillah. But then, Rav Breidowitz said the following. Hashem wants us from the heavens, but side by side is the parallel idea of accepting Hashem's will, understanding that Hashem's wisdom is inscrutable and good, which means that sometimes the answer is no. And we say, ah, but I broke out of my mazel, and therefore I should get. We don't know. And he adds, and I found this so powerful, Rav Huttner used to say, a Jew must live with contradictions. And that's our lives, that we have to do what we have to do, and understand that Ein Mazel Yisrael means that we, as Jews, have the ability to move beyond our mazel. We have the ability to have Torah of Chesed and Tefillah, which is hitting directly to, connecting directly to the source, that we're able to overrule the mazel. Right? And as a Klal, as the Maharal says, when Klal Yisrael lives on a level 35, that supernatural level, we are not under the mazel influence. And as the time that that's also in 34, that's why everything with the Jews is so extreme. You know, extreme kindness, extreme justice, because we're on a whole different plane here in our relationship with Hashem. That we realize that when we are living in a supernatural way, then taka, ein mazel Yisrael, then we're above the mazalos. When we don't, then we're under the natural order of this world. So if we summarize what we've seen, then we'll end with our original question. Why did Hashem tell him to go outside? So a number of reasons. One, to concretize it. Two, to be able to see that when you have it's something physical, it's a Dvar Kayama. It's something that is going to exist for longer. Go count those stars. Jews can do the impossible. And that's it. That's the whole idea that Jews can go beyond the mazel. Jews are able to hit beyond the source, above the source, really. To the source, above the mazel. That's what I meant. And three, and four, Rav Hirsch, which is so beautiful, look up to the stars and see that Hashem created the stars. Hashem created your situation. You have the ability to go above the stars and be able to turn to Hashem himself directly. Is there something called the mazel? Of course there's a mazel. A mazel is a nozel, what Hashem has, tailor-made, the flow for every single person, what they need in life, what are the different dynamics of life to be able to do our tafkid in life. It's mazel isn't luck of life. No, mazel is a direct plan by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There is no such thing as luck of life. It's direction on life. Having said this, this was the challenge of Avodah Zarah, where they stopped at the mazalos, and they say, well, If I can get from you, why should I go to God? Because God is about obligation. Who wants obligation? I just want to receive. Hence, mostly Vodazora. It's in human figures. It's really worship of self. It's the world we live in. What can I get? Not so much, what do I have to give? Having said that, what is the idea of Avravinu stepping outside of the mazel? It's about that, yes, there is a certain mazel. There is a certain destiny that is predestined for every single person. But we have the ability as Jews to step out of that mazel, which is unique to the Jews, which is, one, through Torah. Two, through Maisim Tovim, through mitzvos, but mitzvos in a major way, particularly chesed, particularly saving someone's life. And three, clearly the Sfarim, all the Sfarim speak about, tefillah has this ability to break through, and real tefillah, that directly to Hashem, realizing Hashem is the source. And with having said all of this, there's no guarantees that Hashem may want and say, you know, your mazel is to be poor. Yes, I could change your mazel to be rich. And when you've davened and done these good deeds and learned this Torah, you've switched who you are. And therefore, your whole dynamics of the mazel has changed. And now you can serve God through wealth. You can serve God through this child. You can serve God through marriage, which is all idea of what tefillah is about. Having said all of this, Hashem may say, no, this is not what your avoda is. Your mazel's in place, and there's a reason why. Even if you've changed, you still need to serve Hashem in this way. Comes along our original question of Rav Duner. Well, if mazalos have an impact, and Hashem isn't saying, you know, poo-poo the mazalos. No, Avraham, you've read them right, but you're above the mazalos. So then why didn't Hashem just have Avravinu's mazal be different? Why didn't he just put Jupiter in the east instead of the west? To which Hamikdash HaLevi gives the following answer, and I think this is a nice idea for us to leave with. He says, yes, mazalos have the ability to tell us what's going on. And they're very accurate about telling us what's going on. The Don in 36, Rav Duner says, Eitzel Yisrael, tafkidam shel kohavim. It's not just to tell us what's happening. The mazalos have a whole different purpose. Le'orer otam l'tshuva. Mazalos, the astrological signs, this is what's meant to happen for us, is to awaken us to do tshuva. That if we see in the heavens there's supposed to be trouble happening, it's going to cause us to do tshuva and to daven. And that is what Avraham Avinu is being told. Leave your astrology. Your astrology is not telling you what's going to happen. Your astrology is just being ma'orer you. You're not supposed to have kids. And I have the astrology this way for one reason, in order for you to daven. And when you daven, your astrology will change. And that's one of the things that we have to understand. That sometimes when the astrology, particularly for the klal, is bent in a certain way, it's in order for us to say, oh my gosh, there's doom on and gloom on the horizon. We better do something. And that's what the astrology is for. And for klal Yisrael in particular, it's in order for us to be able to be mispala, that Hashem uses the astrology not only to bring down the gifts from heaven, but He also uses the astrology as a means to be ma'orer us. And that's what all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in this world. He wants us to reach levels of greater heights. Astrology is one of those mediums Hashem uses in order for us to daven, in order for us to do tshuva. And we have to be able to see that when we have a certain gezeira going in a certain direction, a certain astrology in a certain direction, we shouldn't feel like, oh, that's it. No, fakir. It's in order to awaken us that we have to be able to do tshuva and tefillah to Hashem. And I think when we look at the dynamics that are going on right now, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, we're talking about now the beginning of Marchesh from Tashim Rayim Vav. So it's fascinating how we had all of these terrible things happening on Tuesday, these one after the other, and Wednesday, suddenly everything became quiet. And we know that Wednesday was the beginning of this month, where tens of thousands of Bukharim went back to learn. It's not by chance. When you have so much Torah being learned, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, It changes the dynamics. It goes l'mal u'mina teva. There's a shmira. There's a protection. And that's what we have to understand. If we're looking at this world from an astrological point of view, from a political point of view, there's no hope for us. When we realize that Ein Mazal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael are being directed on a higher plane, it's a plane that's encouraging us to do tshuva, it's a plane that's encouraging us to daven, it's a plane that's encouraging us to move above the astrological, above the idea of luck of life, to realize that Hashem is the direct cause and source, that we're more involved in Torah, in tefillah, in gemilus chasadim, then as a klal and as individuals, we have the ability to change the mazel into a completely different direction and be able to have, like Avraham Avinu, the schus of tremendous amount of bracha. My bracha to all of us is that we'll be able to utilize these kochos of tefillah, of tshuva, of Torah, of gemilus chesed, to be able to bring for ourselves and for all of Klal Yisrael a mazal tov, a good mazel.